dead or ready to pay your dues. Hey guys, it's Stacy
and Katie,
and you're listening to the latest episode of Mothers Who Kill.
Well, we're actually here. Are we here?
Yeah, did we make it?
We finally made it.
Hi! Hey guys! Been a while.
Oh, better late than never, I guess.
I guess so, but, you know, with all this stuff going on in the world, everybody has to take time for themselves.
So, we are back, and we have a couple of episodes waiting to go.
Yep,
As always, thank you for sticking around.
Thanks, guys. It's been a long, 6 months? 7 months?
Is anybody out there?
Are y'all there? Hello?
You're still here? Great. Okay.
All right. So, Katie, this week, or well, not this week, today, we're going to be talking about Lacey Spears.
Uh-huh.
This one kind of reminds me of the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case.
As far as that's who I was trying to remember as we were researching this.
Yeah, the Munchausen by proxy, per se, which, if you ask me, is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
That whole thing is...
Killed her kid by table salt.
I mean, come on. All right, guys, I guess we're just going to jump right into it, and we'll see you at the end.
I lost my 5-year-old son, and I'm very saddened that I don't ever get to watch him grow up.
How did your son die?
His death certificate says homicide.
Lacey was born and raised in Decatur, Alabama. I couldn't find a lot of information about her early life, but I do have a few quotes from some friends that she met before she met Garnet's father and became pregnant. Her friend, Shauna Lynch, said she met Lacey at a daycare where she took her son and said, "When I first met Lacey, she was shy and really good with kids. She volunteered to take my kids if I needed to go to work and didn't want to take them to daycare. She loved my kids and my kids adored her." However, a few years after they met, Shauna stopped spending so much time with Lacey, saying that she was really clingy, that she never wanted to be by herself, that she always had to have a kid there, somebody's kid there. And this was before Garnet was born.
First red flag.
Exactly. Another friend of Lacey's, Christy Burnham, she said that her friendship with Lacey also depended on her willingness to babysit. She said Lacey met her son Cameron and became like a really good friend. She said the two became close while they were at junior college, where Lacey took a few nursing classes before dropping out. And Christy was a single mom at the time, so she was happy to have the help. You know, she said she trusted Lacey because you're not going to leave your kid with somebody you don't trust. She said that trust actually turned to trepidation when Christy said she heard some unusual stories about Lacey, which made her question Lacey's honesty and her motives, I would say. I don't know. Some lady from Lacey's church came up to Christy and said, "Oh, that's Cameron. You've got Lacey's baby." Christy said she looked at her and said, "This is my child, not Lacey's child." And after that, their friendship kind of fizzled out.
At age 20, Lacey met Chris Hill and became pregnant. She gave birth to her son, Garnet Paul Thompson Spears, on December 3rd, 2008. Lacey told people from the very beginning that Chris didn't want to be a part of Garnet's life. During an interview with Troy Roberts of 48 Hours, Lacey was asked what Garnet's health issues were, and she said he was in and out of the hospital for the first 9 weeks of his life and afterwards. Roberts asked what Garnet suffered from, and Lacey replied he had severe ear infections, and the biggest problem was that she couldn't get him to eat, and he could projectile vomit, so he was losing weight. Doctors diagnosed Garnet with failure to thrive, but could not figure out why he couldn't hold food down. At 9 weeks old, he had stomach surgery to prevent him from throwing up. According to Lacey, Garnet would not take a bottle after surgery, and a week later, he was admitted to the hospital for severe dehydration.
Garnett's condition worsened, and he was airlifted from Decatur General Hospital to Birmingham Children's Hospital. His sodium level was found to be dangerously high at 166 when the normal range for infants is 140. High sodium levels can be deadly, potentially causing seizures, swelling in the brain, things like that. The doctors were able to bring Garnett's levels down, but never understood how it had gotten so high in the first place. He was released from the hospital, but Lacey continued taking him to more doctors, telling them she couldn't get him to eat. Finally, at 9 months old, Garnett had surgery to insert a G-tube that this provides nutrients directly into the opening of the abdomen, either through a hanging bag, a bottle, or a syringe. Y'all, make note of that syringe. It becomes important later on. After having the G-tube inserted, Lacey said Garnett continued to have feeding issues, so she kept taking him to doctors. Lacey told 48 Hours' Tori Roberts that Garnett would eat normally, but he would stop eating too. He would say that his stomach would hurt and that he didn't want to eat. He would go for an extended period of time where he just simply would not take anything by mouth. So Lacey continued to use his G-tube as he got older for supplemental feedings when he needed to be nourished.
Lonely and desperate for attention, Lacey began posting on social media about Garnett's health issues. She even devoted a blog dedicated to finding a cure for whatever was plaguing him. In 2010, Lacey moved her and Garnett from Alabama to Florida to be near her grandmother. While there, Lacey babysat and cleaned houses for work and also received some public assistance. She would also occasionally go back to Alabama for a visit. Former friend Shauna Lynch said that on one visit, Garnett was just bouncing like a little two-year-old kid, running around, completely normal. I never thought he was sick or anything. And when we had lunch, and he was like a normal two-year-old eating pizza and drinking. When Garnett became a school-age boy, Lacey moved them from Florida to New York under the guise of providing him the best education she thought possible. Lacey had heard about an alternative community located an hour south of New York City called Fellowship. Fellowship's mission is to care for elderly residents. Workers live on the premises, and they contribute to all aspects of the community while receiving free room and board as well as schooling for the children. Lacey thought it would be an ideal atmosphere to raise Garnett in.
Valerie, a Fellowship member, met Lacey and Garnett when they moved to the community. She immediately saw something special in Garnett. She said, "He just knew how to reach every person and sort of make them smile. He just went around opening everyone's hearts. There was so much love there." Lacey told the community about Garnett's medical problems, Valerie said, but the little boy that she knew seemed active and healthy. As far as I could tell, he was hungry often, and I would have nuts and fruit on the counter that he would eat. Lacey had told people that Garnett still could not consistently eat food by mouth as he continued to suffer from stomach aches, so she sought help from local doctors. Dr. Ivan Derenkoff, a pediatric gastroenterologist, what a word, saw Garnett for 5 visits over a period of several months in 2013. He treated him for stomach ailments and checked on his G-tube. To rule out serious diseases, the doctor suggested a number of complicated tests, which Lacey readily agreed to. All of those tests came back negative. However, when the doctor recommended a simple nutritional evaluation to see if the feeding tube was necessary, Lacey's reaction was different, he said. He stated that she would not say yes, and then she would not say no, but she simply just wouldn't do it. The doctor said he was telling her that he didn't like the feeding tube being there if they didn't need it. He said that was his mantra every time him and Lacey would meet. But according to Lacey, she said that the doctor and her had begun to talk about the removal of the G-tube, but neither her nor him were comfortable with the removal at the time. However, it was a future goal. Dr. Derenkoff says he grew frustrated when he also asked Lacey for Garnett's previous medical history, which he never received. He said that there were red flags all along this case after each visit, but Dr. Derenkoff said that he tried to work his way through each red flag, but he said in the back of his mind each time Munchausen by proxy was there. He said that he was suspicious, but he was not certain, so he did not share his concerns with authorities. However, he did stop seeing Garrett when he Garnett, excuse me, when he moved to another practice in another state. He said, however, his suspicions stayed with him.
Meanwhile, life at the fellowship was going well for Lacey and Garnett, who after living there for a year and a half was thriving. Lacey said that he was just a little social butterfly and that he loved it. She also said that he required occasional supplemental feeding, so his C2, which she administered at home, but was otherwise active and seemingly healthy. However, in January 2014, shortly after Garnett turned 5, Lacey said he came down with a fever and a stomach ache and a headache. She took him to a pediatrician who said, you know, I can't figure out anything that's going on with him, but we're going to keep watch on him. Garnett's temperature went down and he seemed a little better, but several days later, his condition worsened. Lacey says she just remembered him screaming in pain and holding his head. Garnett was admitted to New York's Nyack Hospital with seizure-like symptoms. That word trips me up every time. Video EEG was set up using a special cap on his head wired to a machine that monitors brain activity. Meanwhile, with Lacey's consent, a camera recorded Garnett in the room. Lacey remained by her son's side caring for him, taking him to the bathroom, and everything seemed normal. Garnett's condition improved greatly Friday night, and Saturday he was fine, but almost 2 days after being admitted to the hospital, he took a turn for the worse with stomach issues and pain. Lacey said he started screaming that his head hurts and he was trying to throw up. They call a code blue because he's not breathing. Tests showed Garnett's sodium level, which was a normal 138 when he was admitted, was now a dangerous 182, which could lead to death. The hospital decided Garnett's best chance for recovery was to transfer him to a more specialized children's hospital at Westchester Medical Center, where over the phone, a doctor was filled in on Garnett's condition.
2.5 hours later, Garnett was airlifted to Westchester's Maria Ferrari Children's Hospitals. Doctors worked quickly to treat him, and through IVs, they were able to bring his sodium levels down within a day. However, Garnett's recovery lasted less than 24 hours. The damage to his body had already been done due to the sodium levels causing his brain to swell. And after 2 days of being admitted to the Children's Hospital, Garnett was pronounced brain dead and placed on life support. Retired Westchester County Detective Dan Carfee, said he got the call that there was a sick child at the Children's Hospital and that they wanted to start an investigation. The doctors could not figure out how Garnett's sodium level had gotten so high unless someone had given him salt, and the person that doctors suspected was Lacey. Detective Carfee said the thought of this being a death by a loving mother was difficult to swallow, but we didn't have a whole lot of time to dwell on that. An investigation involving Detective Carfee and Rampo Detectives Kirk Budnick and Greg Dunn was immediately underway. Carfee focused on what happened at the hospital, while Budnick and Dunn immediately obtained a search warrant for Lacey and Garnett's home. Detective Budnick said that it just seemed strange that when they walked into Lacey's apartment, I'm going to assume this is the apartment, there were 4 or 5 medications on a kitchenette table behind a can of salt. What first caught Detective Dunn's eye was in the middle of the living room, there was an IV-type pole with a substance hanging from it, which was kind of unusual. However, Detective Budnick told him, he said, she told me she was breastfeeding, so it looks like breast milk in the bag, so we just decided not to take it. They also noticed a similar-looking bag in the garbage, but decided to leave that one as well. However, they took on more than 150 other items, ranging from food, salt containers, holistic medications, vitamins, syringes, and tubes. The following day, the detectives interviewed a cooperative Lacey at the hospital. 48 hours, Troy Roberts asked Lacey, were you surprised when the police showed up? And Lacey replied, absolutely. I'm surprised that my son is brain dead. I'm surprised at all of these events that have transpired because one minute he's fine and the next minute he's not. Detective Budnick said Lacey seemed very interested in what was going on in the investigation. If your child is sick, dying, or perhaps brain dead, you'd think you'd want to be by that child's side. However, Lacey was the opposite. She only wanted to spend more time with the detectives and help in bringing in people to interview, said Detective Carfee. They all thought it was a little odd. Lacey tried to explain. You're dealing with your son, and then this has happened and has transpired. And then you're thrown into a mix of police officers and investigators. She said, I was denied time with my son in the last hours and days of his life because I was doing everything the police asked of me so that they could figure out what happened to my son. So there's like opposing opinions there, I guess. However, 10 weeks after Garnett's death, the coroner ruled his death a homicide. And there seemed to be only one suspect, which happened to be Lacey. As law enforcement looked into Lacey's past, they contacted the DA in her hometown of Decatur, Alabama, Johnny Coker. Let's see. Coker came across a disturbing discrepancy in Lacey's background, saying that she lied about the identity of Garnett's biological father. This is where, Chris comes in here in just a little bit. So Lacey liked to tell everybody that Garnett's biological father was a local deputy in the Morgan County Sheriff's Department. His name was Blake, and that Blake was a hero who had died in a car crash. Yeah. On social media, there was post after post recalling traveling to his memorial service as well as the holidays that he had missed.
What world does she live in?
Exactly. However, this Blake is alive and well. His name is Blake Robinson, and he is currently a sergeant with the Morgan County, Alabama Sheriff's Department. He told 48 Hours that he and Lacey had met approximately 3 times about a decade ago. And that never in his wildest dreams would he have ever thought that his name would have been drawn out of this big bag as a make-believe father.
The make-believe baby daddy.
When 48 Hours asked Lacey, didn't you tell people that the biological father was Blake? Lacey replied, I did. I decided with my family that if anybody asked, we would say his name was say his name and then say that he was a police officer and that he died in a car accident. She said, I also did that so that when people asked, it would shut down the conversation. I didn't want Garnett to have the stigma that his father was a deadbeat. So you lie, make up this entire elaborate story.
No one can ruin somebody's life if somebody ever found out.
Exactly. However, Chris Hill, who is Garnett's biological father, says that he would not have been a deadbeat father. He declined an on-camera interview, but he did say that he would have welcomed being a part of Garnett's life as he is active in his other child's life. But Lacey shut him out. Yeah.
Lacey's neighbor at the fellowship, Valerie, wanted to help her through this unimaginable time and had been in contact with her the day after Garnett was pronounced brain dead. I heard Garnett was brain dead and it was just so completely devastating, she said. Lacey asked me to go to her apartment and take the feeding bag off the sand and dispose of it. When Valerie headed to Lacey's apartment, a neighbor told her that the police had been there, and she now had second thoughts about disposing of the bag, so she took it home with her. First, I put it in the garbage bag, and then I put it in the closet, she said. Valerie then told the leaders of the fellowship what had transpired, and they came and got the bag from her a bit later. Then they called the police. Detectives recovered that bag and returned to Lacey's apartment, taking the feeding bag and the garbage bag they had left nearly 2 days earlier. Both bags were sent out for testing. Lacey states that she did not ask Valerie to go to her apartment and remove anything. She asked her to go and see what state her apartment was in and what the police had been doing there. Troy Roberts pointed out that there were 2 feeding bags recovered and asked what the investigators found. Lacey replied with sodium. Roberts pressed Lacey, asking why high levels of sodium were found in the feeding bags in her home. Lacey replied with, you would have to ask the person that put it in there because I didn't put sodium in the bag. And the proof is that when I took him to the hospital that night, had there been high levels of sodium in the feeding bag I fed my son out of immediately before he went to the hospital, he would have had high levels of sodium, and he didn't. Robert asked, so it just magically appeared. And Lacey responded, it was exchanged between a multitude of hands before the police got it 48 hours after the bag had been taken from my home. Robert asked, so someone is setting you up? Lacey replied with, I didn't say that someone was setting me up. I'm saying that I didn't place it in the bag. Police were drilling down on their investigation. Lab results on the feeding bags from Lacey's apartment revealed massive amounts of sodium. Each bag had the equivalent of at least 69 small packets of salt. The amount of sodium were in those bags were lethal.
In addition to looking into Lacey's personal life, the investigators in New York and Alabama were working to piece together Garnett's medical history. They obtained subpoenas for his medical records and started interviewing doctors. In a period of 2 years, Lacey sought medical attention for Garnett in about 20 different doctor's offices. Some of them were referrals from one doctor to another, and sometimes when a doctor was getting a little too close to figuring out what was going on, Lacey switched doctors. Investigators also found doctors who were suspicious about Lacey. 5 weeks into Garnett's life, one of the doctors documented in the medical records that it was a possible Munchausen by proxy, but that the suspicion did not get acted upon, nor did other nor did any other suspicions found during the investigation get acted upon. Like a medical report that noted Lacey said that she wanted to harm Garnett, or one where Garnett suffered bleeding from the eyes and ears with no known medical explanation, and that a report at 10 weeks old unexplained high sodium levels. So, there were already reports of unexplained high sodium levels and that she wanted to harm the child, yet nobody did anything?
Nothing.
Like nothing. So Garnett was failed by not only his mother, but the doctors as well. Let's see. It says, looking back in hindsight, the doctors said that they wish they had noticed this before, or that they wish they had put it all together. It turns out that calls were also made to child service agencies. 48 Hours had obtained the redacted reports regarding Lacey and concerns about feeding issues, Garnett's weight, and about her changing stories regarding his medical problems. Those cases were also investigated and closed, saying that neglect was unsubstantiated. It wasn't neglect.
No.
In my eyes, it was abuse.
Yeah.
And premeditated murder. A doctor says it appears that these cases were not investigated at the level that they needed to be. Well, no shit, Sherlock. 48 Hours, Troy Roberts said to Lacey, they say this goes back years, how you've been trying to hurt your son. Lacey responded with, so you take your child to the doctor in the hospital seeking help to figure out what's going on with them, or you neglect them, so you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. So what do they expect you to do? I took care of him and made sure he had adequate medical history. I never harmed my son once. The police and the Westchester, New York district attorney thought that Lacey did harm Garnett. 5 months after Garnett died, Lacey was charged and held without bail for murder in the second degree and first degree manslaughter. Lacey and her legal team insist that Garnett's death is a medical mistake, with the Nyack Hospital being at fault. Lacey's lawyers say that the doctors changed his diet and that caused or exacerbated his stomach problems, that they did not give him the necessary medication during the day to combat the dehydration, and that they also exacerbated the dehydration by giving him a rapid fusion of IV solution. IVs contain sodium solutions, which the defense believes could have contributed to Garnett's condition and his death. That argument was refuted by the prosecution when Lacey's trial began in February of 2015. During her opening statement, the Westchester County District Attorney, Doreen Lloyd, told the court that the evidence would show and convince them that the defendant took her son into the bathroom and poisoned him with salt in his G-tube. You will see that she does this, which there is a video showing that she took him into the bathroom. The prosecution set out to prove this by playing a video, like I said, that was recorded at the hospital. They contended that when Lacey took Garnett into the bathroom, she poisoned him with salt on 2 occasions through his feeding tube. This video also shows him being a healthy kid that he could be if his mother would have left him alone, she told the court. This is a claim that Lacey and her lawyers dismiss. There is not one single frame of this video that shows Lacey doing anything to her child, said her lawyer. In fact, when you watch it, it has just the opposite effect. It's exonerating. No, it's not. Guys, I'm going to find this video and post it on our social media accounts so that you guys can determine your own outcome, I guess, or your own opinions of this. Because to me, when I watch the video, I see a healthy child going into the bathroom, and then minutes after he comes out, he is almost immediately seizing. Anyway, the prosecution said that the video shows Garnett becomes ill after those two bathroom visits. First in the morning, he appears uncomfortable and requires the attention of his nurse. And then later, that same day, about 30 minutes after the other bathroom trip, he starts gagging and thrashing.
The defense, however, questions where the salt and syringe would come from. No eyewitnesses, no forensic evidence, and no answers to the question why. What is clear to both sides, though, is that Garnett was in distress. He soon stopped breathing, and his blood work showed that his sodium levels had soared without any medical explanation in 5 hours. It went from 144 to 182, and every doctor who testified agreed that that cannot happen naturally, adding suspicion. Lacey had been searching on the internet about her sodium levels and turned up searches of dangers of high sodium as signs of high sodium were found. 1 month later, after Lacey's trial began, on the third day after the case went to the jury, a verdict was reached guilty of depraved indifference and murder of a child. Lacey, her family, and her attorneys were stunned. Lacey told 48 Hours it was shocking. I did not murder my son. I did not hurt my son, and that to be told I was found guilty of murdering my own son, there are no words to describe that. Lacey was sentenced in April of 2015, and words never heard during the trial were now spoken by the judge. One does not have to be a psychologist to realize you suffer from a mental illness known as Munchausen by proxy, said Judge Robert to Lacey. He then delivered his sentence, 20 years to life. Do you even realize the magnitude of your crime, Judge continued. By not imposing the maximum sentence as I am, combining punishment with something that you really did not exhibit towards your son, namely mercy. Lacey maintains her innocence and will be eligible for parole in 2034 when she is 64 years old. Did we
do it? I think we did. Oh my gosh, you guys.
That one was a rough one. Mentally and trying to get it done.
Trying to get through it after not recording for
3-4 months?
Several months. It's hard to get back into the groove. I have a lot of feelings about this case. Personally think Lacey is exactly where she belongs. However, I do not think she deserves parole.
No.
In any shape, form, or fashion. What was it, in 2034?
Yeah, 2034.
I mean,
I think she said she would be 64 years old.
46. She was young. I believe it was 46. If she was 46, she still has a chance to live a life that Garnett doesn't get to live. If she's 64, she's got a few years, give or take. I just hope they keep her
locked up where she is.
Locked up, because to me, she committed a cold-blooded murder.
And it was premeditated. I don't care what her mental state was.
Look, anybody that can inject salt into their child's feeding tube
multiple times
and watch them suffer, and then the last time at the hospital is what gets me. She knew he had recovered. She knew they were going to send him home, and so instead she wanted to, I guess, up the ante a bit and see how far she could take it. But I don't think she counted on those videos that she consented to be recorded was going to show her doing what she did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Thanks for sticking around. If you stuck around this long, we appreciate you so much.
Are you here?
Right? Are you guys still here? Hello? All right. Up next for us is going to be Diane Downs.
That one is a doozy as well.
Y'all are going to be just blown away by that one. It is insane.
Have a happy Halloween.
We hope you guys have a happy Halloween and
eat all the candy.
Just don't get stomach aches, guys. And just, I don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, we're out.
We're out, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.